welcome to another episode of High Velocity Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and we have a great show for you. The guys are out in Las Vegas right now at OAUG, Oracle Users Application Group Trade Show, and they'll be broadcasting live later today. I'm a little jealous. I wish I was out there with them playing some blackjack, but it's another rainy, crazy spring day here in Atlanta. But we do have a great show for you. Later in the show, we'll be talking with Robbie Hart and Jason Tannenbaum, the founders of C4 Belts, and also Ronald Dodd, the CEO of Grey Umbrella Marketing. But first up on High Velocity Radio, we have Chris Burnett. He's the market president of Sandy Springs with Midtown Bank. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, Kevin. Great to be here.
So you guys are going to be opening a bank up here in Sandy Springs soon. Is that correct?
We are opening a new division in Midtown called Bank of Sandy Springs.
Okay. Why do you guys decide to sort of make it, instead of just a Bank of Midtown, just make it all over? Why are you guys sort of being hyper-local and targeting the area?
Well, we feel like, over the last 5 years, community banking has been very difficult in Georgia. There's been 88 closures over the last 5 years.
Definitely.
And a lot of community banks that were located in communities like Sandy Springs, Roswell, Alpharetta, Johns Creek were closed by the FDIC. So we think there's been a void of community banking to serve specific communities. And, of course, in the name Midtown Bank probably wouldn't play as well in Sandy Springs or Roswell or Alpharetta. So our objective is to go community by community, hiring presidents for those markets, bringing in board members for those markets, and building a bank around the local community with local community support. So our first project is going to be Bank of Sandy Springs, which will open in early June.
I love that. A lot of businesses are going hyper-local. How did you really get into the banking industry, and how did you end up with Midtown Bank?
Well, 34 years in the industry. I started as a bank teller in college. And figured that when I got out of college, I'd get a real job. Been interviewing for that real job now for 34 years. This is my fourth presidency. I was CEO of three previous community banks, which sold. So
congrats.
Just doing this more for the fun of it now, and which I haven't been able to say fun and banking in the same sentence in a long time. But it's gotten a lot better, and we've got a very healthy platform. Midtown is one of the strongest community banks in the city of Atlanta. And so it made good sense for us to actually branch out when many other community banks were sort of pulling in their reins and just trying to manage what they've got. We're in a good position to grow and open our first new division in the next 45 days or so.
Well, that's got to be exciting, and Atlanta's a great city for that. But why Sandy Springs? I mean, you have Roswell. You have a lot of great hyper-local communities that this would probably work in.
Well, I'll give you my Sandy Springs commercial now because I am also on the Chamber of Commerce Board and on the Economic Development Authority Advisory Council for the city. And Sandy Springs is probably one of the most dynamic, if not the most dynamic, city in the state of Georgia now. If you think about it, we are home to more Fortune 1000 companies actually than the city of Atlanta is.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Over 30 million square feet of office space in the perimeter market, which is actually bigger than the city of Charlotte. And probably one of the best demographics in the country, in the top 10 income demographics in the nation, with the North Side, St. Joseph Healthcare area, some of the best healthcare in the region. So it is a fantastic place to live, to work, and to play. And it fits well with our model because we're primarily focused on private banking and on small business finance. And Sandy Springs has a very vibrant business community, over 4,000 businesses located in this market, and over 100,000 residents. So, and many of those are CEOs and business owners. So it's an extremely strong demographic, and it's why we picked it as our first market to grow into.
Wow. Well, I love that. Well, sort of explain how you guys are integrate yourself into the community and sort of just your business model, how it differs from other banks.
Well, in terms of the community, of course, I'm very active with the Chamber and with the Economic Development Authority. And, you know, for example, we're working actively on a business expo, which will occur on June the 5th, which will be the Perimeter Business Expo. And it'll be an opportunity for businesses in the perimeter area to showcase their products and services.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping to have over 300 businesses there for that expo. And we will be one of the marquee participants in that event. In fact, we are putting some volunteers out right now, making phone calls and trying to get business participation to that event. We work very closely with Economic Development Matters, actually working right now on trying to help our development authority bring in another publicly traded company
That's
to
awesome.
Sandy Springs. I can't disclose who it is, but it would
Obviously.
Be a great coup for us if we were able to pull that off. You may not know this, but you know the New York Stock Exchange is actually headquartered here in Sandy Springs now, owned by a company called Intercontinental Exchange. That
Definitely.
Was quite a coup for us to get that business as well. So Those are the sort of things that we do at the large scale and within the community, of course, get involved in a lot of the charitable organizations and really immerse ourselves in the community, because we feel like a vibrant, healthy community is so good for our residents, for our business owners, and candidly, it's good for business too. People see us involved and it gives us a chance to market our services. You know, as I mentioned, we're primarily private banking and small business. We have a very healthy SBA guaranteed lending division.
Okay.
A lot of small companies got their start with SBA. And we have financed hundreds of companies over the years, and many of those have grown into very successful larger companies using SBA finance. And we do a lot of traditional small business finance as well. So, you know, our service, I mean, banking's been around. I think it's the second oldest profession in the world. It's been around for a long time. And so the key is not trying to reinvent the wheel, although technology has come a long way. And, of course, we've got mobile banking apps and online banking now and automated bill pay. So technology has changed the landscape of banking, but the premise is still the same. People need money to grow their business, and our mission is to provide that. To do it as inexpensively as possible, but to give an incredibly high level of personal service. Because for a small business owner, their three biggest advocates are their banker, their attorney, and their accountant.
Definitely.
And if you are banking with a large bank where you're just another number, particularly if you're a small business, you're just not going to get that level of service and professionalism that you're going to get at the smaller bank level. And it's the reason that even despite the last 5 years of very difficult times, I mean, we still have, you know, 225 banks in the state of Georgia, and most of those are doing very well today.
Well, I love what you guys are doing. I love it. You go into a small community like a city like Sandy Springs. You go in there. You're helping economic development. You're helping start businesses and make that easy for people. You're bringing in companies for them. And you're also giving them a really high level of service that you wouldn't get with these mega banks, right?
That's exactly right.
So what's really the next step for you guys in this process? When are you guys opening up this bank, and what would be your overall like success that you'd be high-fiving if it happened here?
Right. Well, this location is at the corner of Sandy Springs Circle and Hammond Drive at 6000 Sandy Springs Circle, and our objective is to open early June. We've targeted, I think, a June 4th grand opening date. We'll let that one get open and season at least for the rest of this year. And candidly, we'll look at a different market next year. We like the Roswell area, Alpharetta, Johns Creek, Dunwoody. But what we'll do is base it around people versus facilities. You know, the bigger banks have the resources to do the build it and they will come model. You know, our objective is to go out and find a veteran banker, preferably who's been a president in the past of his own community bank, who can assemble an advisory board and support staff around him, and then build the community based on his contacts and his years of involvement in that community. We love the North Metro market, really, you know, Cobb County, Alpharetta, Roswell, Johns Creek, Dunwoody, even over towards Peachtree Corners, to stay sort of in the Golden Triangle. That's the area where our population growth is the strongest in the city, where our business growth continues to be the strongest, and where our demographics are the strongest. So I think over the next 5 years, we'll go from one location today to probably at least five locations.
Wow.
And we'd like to go from $200 million in assets now to somewhere between $600 million and perhaps even a billion over the next 5 years. We'll consider a public offering perhaps at some point if that's the right thing to do, or perhaps a partnership with another community bank that shares the same values and the same cultures. But our niche, we really want to stay small, and you know, we don't want to become another behemoth. We want to truly do something unique. And I'd like to do this 10 more years, and hopefully Bank of Sandy Springs will allow me the opportunity to do that.
Well, I think you guys are really forward-thinking, because I really think this is the way the banking industry, this is going to be the new model for it. Because I know for me, I bank with one of the major, bigger banks, and I don't ever talk to them or call them. I deposit checks on my phone. I hardly ever go into the brick-and-mortar stores, and I don't have a relationship with them at all. I wouldn't ask them for financial advice ever. But if I was starting a small business and I got a loan with you guys, just having someone I can trust and ask, because there's so many different pitfalls and scar tissue I can avoid just by having that kind of relationship.
Yeah, and the certainly technology, you know, has changed things, and it probably has created some separation between clients and their banks. And our mission is to really be both. I mean, our technology is easily as good, if not better than the behemoth banks. We have all the same products that they offer on the technological side. But we also offer, you know, true human relationships. I mean, you know, if somebody wants to pick up the cell phone on Saturday or Sunday and call me at home or on my cell, I'm going to answer the phone and I'm going to try to give them help and advice. And that's something you don't typically get as a small business owner if you're banking with one of the behemoth banks. You might know the teller, but when it comes to giving you business advice, is that the person you're really going to turn to? You want to turn to a veteran who has been in the trenches, has been through the good times and the bad times, and can really be an advocate and an advisor for your business. And I think we clearly have the resources to do that.
Wow. I'm really impressed. So how do people reach out and find out more? And what are you guys looking for more of? Like, what do you guys need? Do you need more customers to get to know about you? Do you guys need more people to partner up? Or?
Absolutely. I don't think you could ever have too many customers, but and not all customers are the right fit. Some companies are too large for us, honestly.
Okay.
It would be very difficult for us to bank, some of those Fortune 1000 companies mm-hmm. that I mentioned. But it's our mission to take a company that might be a Fortune 1 million and make them feel like a Fortune 1000, give
okay.
them that level of service. And so companies in the retail sector, manufacturing, distribution, professional services, medical, really any small business with credit needs up to about $5 million is a good fit for us. And so we have some companies that, have $100,000 in debt, and we've got some that have $5 million in debt. So it really kind of runs the gamut of what their needs are and how we can structure our facilities to best fit those needs. So we always need good new clients.
New clients. Well, I love that you guys are you're a niche service in the sense that you guys will only take on a client if you can serve them to their utmost ability.
So. That's one of the keys, I think, to being successful in business is you never want to try to promise products and services you can't deliver. It's always better to overpromise, or it's not good to overpromise. You always want to
underpromise,
overdeliver, and just serve that client on a consistent basis with the highest level of service possible. And so much of our business comes now from a referral network from clients that are very pleased with the relationship they have. And we get calls all the time. Hey, can you call my friend Joe? He's got a business and he's with one of the big guys and he's looking for a better relationship. So,
all right. Well, how do our listeners today sort of reach out if they're those bigger those companies they want to bank with you? Where would they go to learn more?
Well, our master website is midtownbank.com. But in the next 30 days, we'll launch our new website, bankofsandysprings.com. And that's probably the best way to go online is either midtownbank.com or bankofsandysprings.com. And you can learn all about us, and my link will be there with my email address and telephone number. And you can learn more about our company.
Well, thanks for coming on there and enlightening us.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Appreciate your time.
All right. Well, next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Ronald Dodd, the CEO of Gray Umbrella Marketing. He was sitting there patiently taking notes. He was rating you. He had his scorecards up there. So welcome to the show.
A-minus.
That's not bad.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So tell me a little bit about Umbrella Marketing.
Sure. So I got the name when I was in college, actually, and I was talking to my professor, and I really didn't know which direction I wanted to go, whether I wanted to do real estate, finance, or marketing. And he really just said, I like marketing because it's not black or white. It's kind of a gray area. And then I also got the umbrella portion from really believing the concept of umbrella marketing and why businesses sell. Instead of saying Allstate, we have great life insurance, it's Allstate protecting people and their assets.
Yeah.
It's about helping people. And that's kind of how I formed the name. Flash forward, 2012 October, I incorporated this company and really made a focus on digital marketing, internet marketing, and really helping businesses figure out, what to do on the internet, how to reach customers, how to get in front of customers or searching for the products and services. And also I help them market themselves differently than their competitors.
Okay. So what do you guys really specialize in?
So I'd say our bread and butter is website design, SEO, and social media. SEO is pretty much the most powerful form of marketing out there because you're getting in front of customers who are already looking for your services.
Definitely.
So you really can't get anything better than that. We also do a lot of digital advertising, banner ads, remarketing, AdWords for video, a lot of content marketing, blogging, guest posting, reputation management. Are there bad reviews? Is there bad publicity? How do we get positive publicity? Because when someone... For instance, one of our clients who's a surgeon in Fort Lauderdale, and we search his name, the first thing that pops up is, malpractice. Doesn't do well for his business, especially he didn't even have a website or anything. So we basically create him social media accounts, create him a website, made some press releases, and got that negative publicity off the first three pages. So it'd be really hard for a customer to find them. And you think about a surgeon, too. They're trusting you with their lives. They're going to research you. So if you have that one bad review, that could cost them anywhere from $100,000 to $300,000 a year.
Easily.
You just can't have that. Yeah.
Definitely. So you're talking about social media and different companies. When you're sort of talking to these companies, I know back in the day for SEO, they would pay someone in India and they would do their magic and they'd break the system and you'd be at the top page of Google. But now you really need a professional like you to go in there and actually get the content right so that they can read it properly, the Google algorithm can read it and sort of pop you up there.
Yeah, absolutely. People still hire people from India. Whether they get results from it, I don't know. Right now, SEO is just so difficult to do.
It really is.
Back in the day, you could just buy some software and just blast your website right up to Google, and then you know it'd stay there for 6 months. You know, but now everything has to be done by hand, manually. It's really difficult to keep up the times, and quite frankly, it's impossible to do it by yourself. You really have to have an expert or a company really helping you along the process. Even hiring internally is difficult because you have to have that certain expertise and someone who's just constantly staying up with Google updates, because they happen, I mean, every 3 months now. It's crazy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So let's say I'm a medium to small company and I'm coming to you guys and I'm like, hey, I need help with my marketing and my SEO and social media and all that. How do you guys really engage? What's your engagement strategy for that?
Sure. The first step, you know, it's just learn a little bit more about the company, you know, why they sell, who are they selling to, who's their really target market. I think a lot of businesses have, you know, a set customer base, but that's not their ideal customer base. They really want this demographic or this type of customer. So we first analyze and try to figure out their target market and basically try to work with a strategy and figure out what is their marketing plans and what are their marketing goals. And then we obviously look for what are people searching for their services. We don't want to, you know, rank our customer for Red Boots when they sell life insurance. That serves no purpose just for the sake of traffic. We want to get them in front of customers who are searching their services. And a lot of times we have people come to us and they say, you know, I want to be ranked for this or this, you know, the best life insurance agent in Woodstock, GA. Well, it's great. We can do that for you, but you're going to get no results from it. And a lot of the time, you know, we can do it for you, but you're not going to see a return from it. So we always try to make sure that we can analyze how many people are searching. There's so many great tools out there. We can pretty much figure out how much the return is going to be. So we can analyze, okay, we have these 10 keywords. You're going to get, let's say, 3,500 searches a month from all these keywords. If we capture 20% of those, we can expect a 3% conversion rate. And let's say your average purchase is $500. Then we can analyze and see, okay, you're going to make X amount of dollars. You're going to spend X amount of dollars with us. Therefore, we can see that you're going to get a 10-to-1 ROI from your money.
You can do that all before they even write you a check. You can say, well, this is the analytics we have from all our other companies, and this is what we do for them, and this is what we can do for you.
Yeah, cold, hard data.
Definitely. So you mentioned also with doing stuff with websites, you guys focus on design and stuff. So I'm sure you guys take analytics and you can see, well, we're driving traffic to their website, but for some reason they're not clicking on wherever they have to click to convert the sale. And that's not leading anywhere. Do you guys focus at that at all, or do you outsource that?
No, we do all the website design in-house. We're really website builders. We call ourselves website design because that's an industry term.
Yeah.
We do everything for it, hosting, building, development, anything they need. And we really try to focus in on the strategy aspect of the website. I mean, you can go on GoDaddy and get a free website. You can do it yourself. But you really pay us to do the website because you want someone who's going to really make a website that's going to earn the business more money.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically help analyze, you know, for instance, we do a lot of websites for attorneys. And the biggest thing with them is people are going to search Google, they're going to click on the first lawyers, and then they're going to call them all. If you don't have your number at the top right, they're just going to click off your website because they don't have patience for that.
Definitely.
Our generation that's coming up, we just, you know, we're very, we basically have a low attention span, really.
Definitely.
We're searching for what
that's
we need.
Yeah.
As soon as possible, we can't get it, we're going to move on. So it's really important to give people what they're searching for as quickly as possible.
So how did you get this entrepreneurial spirit? Did you always want to be an entrepreneur? Did you say, oh, well, I want a real job? Or did you say, no, I don't want to work for somebody else. I'm going to go ahead and tack this. Or did it just sort of happen magically?
It happened magically. I was lucky enough to shake a few really great hands during college, and they kind of helped me along the path. Otherwise, I don't know what I'd be doing with my life right now. This is actually my fourth business, believe it or not. I've had a lot of learning experiences.
You got a lot of scar tissue.
Yeah. It still hurts. But yeah, it's just one of those things. I love competing. I've always been a competitive person, and just Atlanta has so many good businesses and so many great marketing minds here that I just love competing against them and just competing against the best marketing minds in America, really.
Well, it's great, too, but there's also a huge pool of companies, too, to go from. So it's not like you're all fighting over a small pool. There's a giant pool, and you're fighting over for sort of your market share there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And a lot will niche themselves. For instance, there's companies that only do websites or SEO for lawyers. But it's really difficult for, you know, as a marketing agency as us, we're going to have multiple clients from doing the same things, going after the same keywords. We can't really have that because that's a huge conflict of interest. So we really try to broaden our client base and learn more about the industries specifically. And it's great sometimes because a lot of companies, they'll get this one tool in their toolbox and they think they can just beat all their clients over the head with this one tool. It's going to work for all of them. We try to have a lot of tools in our toolbox so we can use different tools for different clients and whatever needs they have and where their target market really is. And a lot of times if they get focused in on a certain niche, they kind of think that they know it all. It's really good to have an outside opinion, somebody doesn't know the industry, who only knows marketing, and that could come in and kind of help these businesses figure out how to market themselves.
Well, definitely. Like you said earlier, these small to medium-sized businesses, they're just focused on running their business. They don't understand the marketing aspect, and they might come to you and say, I want to be the best doctor's office in Woodstock. And you say, well, you don't really want those keywords. I can get you different keywords that are going to drive your target client to you, and you're not going to have to do any work for it. So,
absolutely. And yeah, and a lot of, like, and sorry to hammer on the attorneys, but we have a lot of attorneys say, oh, shouldn't we be on Facebook and Twitter? And I say, well, your customer purchase life cycle is like once every 25 years. I get in a car accident, I need a lawyer. I'm not going to think like, I need
that guy on Facebook, that Facebook ad.
10 years ago, that Facebook ad popped up. I should call that guy. I need an attorney. I need it now. I'm going to go on Google and find one as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, I've been through that search pattern before, and
So what's next for you guys? What are you looking for in the future? Are you looking to build this up, sell it off, start your fifth company or your sixth company? Or?
Oh, no. I'm here for the long haul. This is my baby. This is the only one that I've not had a partner in. Really, goals for the future is just get make our clients as much money as possible. You know, we have three basically focuses. The number one is provide the best product for our clients. Number two is provide our employees the best work environment. And number three is turn a profit. And you can't have number three without the first two. So really, we're just focusing on the current client base we have right now. If people search Atlanta SEO company and find us and they call us, that's great. You know, we love to have them, but we're really trying to focus on making our clients as much money as possible.
Well, you're building those relationships, and that's the most important thing. So what do you guys need more of? How can we help out?
More customers can't hurt. If anyone just, you know, like a second opinion or just like to know more about marketing or like to chat, always free to talk. If you can, just search Grand Umbrella Marketing or go to gumarketing.com and reach out to us. And we love to chat with you. Even if you're using an SEO company right now, you might be unhappy or don't know if they're doing the right things. We'd love to give you a second opinion.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, last but not least, we got our headliners here. And then we got some cool belts here in the studio with us. We got Robbie Hart and Jason Tannenbaum, founders of C4 Belts. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks. Up, Kevin? Good to be here.
So tell me a little bit about this. I'm looking at the belts right now. They look awesome. And tell me how you guys had this idea. And you guys are entrepreneurs yourself. So
we are, yeah. We recently graduated, in the last 4 or 5 years. And we both studied Chinese in college, so we had some experience studying and working there, and we both moved there after college. And during that time, we were exploring, different opportunities there. And it was kind of a merging of two things. We saw a need for a certain accessory, which turned out to be the belt.
Yeah.
And then we also saw a way to fill that need with this new kind of material that we're using for the belt. So that's how we kind of got started, and then we moved back to the States and hit the ground running.
Okay, so you guys you based out of China, you found a factory or somewhere that has this material and is going to do that. Walk me through that whole process. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah, sure. So, we really just wanted to see what there was to offer in China. And with this material, they were using it to make wristbands and watch bands.
Mm-hmm.
And, we saw that it was so cool and so versatile. And we thought, what else can it, be made into? And the function of the watch, how it latches to your wrist, is similar to a buckle.
Yeah.
And so we came up with this design that actually is used with the same kind of army buckle or, Boy Scout buckle. and it's interchangeable, so you can mix and match the belt and buckle with any different color combination that you want.
Okay, so how much do these things cost, and how do you guys decide you want to be sort of in the fashion industry?
Go on, take that. All right, so they retail for $25 online at c4belts.com, and you know, it's kind of a crazy turn of events. We never really saw ourselves in fashion. Jason actually has a little bit more of a background in it. He had a jewelry line before he started with C4. But I never would have imagined being in the fashion industry, but I'm loving it now. It's so cool.
So, yeah, so you went to college. You guys got a degree in Chinese. You're like, I'm going to go live in China. And obviously, I mean, we can all see that business is moving towards China, so knowing Chinese is huge. And then you could decide, well, you know what? I don't want to work for anybody. I'm going to start my own company. I'm going to make these and just and go with it. And how long has this process taken? And what scar tissue have you guys built up?
Man, plenty of scar tissue.
Yeah, I mean, we've been in business now 2.5 years, and frankly, since we're so young, we didn't have a lot of built-up capital on hand, so we had to dive right in. You know, we had a couple of friends who had some money, so, you know, some of college friends put in the first investment.
Friends and family round.
Right, exactly, and you know, we started right away because we didn't have time to sit around and do a bunch of planning because we had to bring in money to support the business. We didn't have a huge investment starting off, so we had to sell product. So, you know, as soon as we got the money, we put in our first order of inventory, hit the ground running. You know, this all happened July 2011.
Wow.
And by October 2012, we were at our first trade show. And
October 2011.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. And so we opened 50 doors at that first trade show.
Wow.
Which was, you know.
That more than you expected. What were, you were going in there not knowing what you were going to.
You know,
to,
I mean, I, like Robbie had said, I had done some jewelry in the past and maybe, you know, 5 or 6 accounts at this exact same trade show. So 50, I mean, this is, you know, we feel like we proved the concept in the very, you know, third month of the product. So we have something here. And
definitely. Yeah, and that was the idea. We thought that we might have something, but we didn't really know. So it was kind of a crapshoot. And yeah, people really liked it.
Yeah, why belts? Like, what? Out of everything, why did you decide belts?
Well, like, you look at all other accessories. Look at sunglasses, shoes, watches. You know, there's all kinds of innovation and customization.
Definitely.
Sunglasses, you know, forever were tortoiseshell and black. And, you know, now you see all kinds of colorful, fun sunglasses. Same thing for watches. You saw the Swatch watch come in the 80s that had the colorful plastics with the interchangeable, feature.
Yeah.
But no one's touched the belt. I bet everyone in this room is like a brown or black leather belt, you know. And and so we really saw an opportunity here. Why is this not a fashion accessory? So you know, we think we can sort of lead the charge in terms of.
Well, and you guys are making it out of material too. I know with all my belts, my hugest problem. I destroy so many belts. I put them on, and it just ends up ripping the material, the leather, the cloth. And I go through belts like no one's business. My fiance's on me all the time. She's like, "You need to go get a new belt. You need to go get a new belt." These things, they look sturdy. They're fashionable, but they also look sturdy, and they're going to last. So,
yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about this material. It's called TPE. It's thermoplastic elastomer. So it's similar to the same material that you find in snowmobile treads.
Oh.
So, like, ridiculously strong.
And it's interesting because when we started the business, we didn't know a ton about plastics. We had the idea, and so we thought, the material that wash bins, well, that's just silicone. So our first, our first prototype was made of silicone and had that exact same problem. Within 2 weeks of wearing it, those holes would break.
Yeah.
So we're like, this is a real problem we need to address. And so actually one of the partner's uncles, who had, like, 25 years of experience in plastics, went over and got the material right, and you know we guarantee the belts for life now. It doesn't stretch, doesn't break.
$25 guaranteed for life.
That's right.
I think I'm going to make that investment. So
I'm
about to buy another belt.
Right.
So you guys, you're in a different country, and you decide to start a business. What is that like? How to go through that process? How to deal with a manufacturer overseas? What is that process like? It sounds like it'd be difficult.
Well, again, we had entrepreneur spirit, both of us. You know, graduating college, we never really wanted to work for anyone else. We actually knew each other a bit growing up and, you know, wanted to have our own business.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some great resources. People might have heard of Alibaba.com.
I've heard of
that
Alibaba.
That was a key resource for us.
We've had a couple of people that started their companies using that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's super simple. it puts you in touch with, you know, 20 possible manufacturers, and, you know, you find the right one. And being in China, it's easy to go visit, and, you know, that's important to see the conditions of the factory. Are the people trustworthy? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot going on in China.
So, right. So you guys get to build that relationship with all, you get to meet the factory workers, see where it's right. being done. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you're changing lives, too. You're helping employ people that way, sort of.
Sure, yeah. And, you know, we were able to kickstart the whole process because we were already in China. So mm-hmm. We could visit those factories within, you know, a day or two, just a few hours on a train ride. And, yeah, so being able to speak Chinese and see the whole process of manufacturing, you know, we're just able to speed up the whole process really quickly.
Well, I have to imagine, too, that they prefer working with you guys because you're like, wow, these guys speak our language. They're taking the time to do that, and that probably goes a really long way with your business other than them saying, oh, well, these are more stupid Americans doing something.
Right. I mean, it's a competitive advantage in two ways. One, just that, you know, we have the relationship, so they actually kind of care about what the end product mm-hmm. is because they know us on a personal level. And two, you know, most of these larger companies, Home Depot, you know, Walmart, et cetera, there's always a middleman or a couple middlemen in the way, you know, to dealing with the manufacturer. Yeah. There's these big quality control companies, et cetera. And with us, we're working directly. So there's, you know, we're really getting the raw cost with our product, which is key to seeing a high profit margin and seeing this business grow.
That's definitely huge. Let's talk about the design. How did you guys come up with this design? Did you guys, and what was that whole process? Did you go through a couple different prototypes and try different things out and then market test or anything? Or?
You know, it's kind of like this is our first design. You know, it's kind of a standard belt design, but the cool part of it is the interchangeability. And as Robbie mentioned, we kind of took from the technology that's on old Boy Scout belts and old Army belts where the buckle latches on. Mm-hmm. It's called a gator clasp and comes off. And so, you know, that was sort of makes it fun. You know, the whole idea here is that someone would have four straps and five buckles. And, you know, really that's yeah. 20 different belts that they could wear. And we have customers who...
So they're interchangeable as well, so you can just do as much as you want with it. That's awesome.
Right, yeah. So it comes in this really cool plastic case packaging.
Yeah.
And the belt and buckle is displayed through it, so you can see right through and see the colors immediately. And I'll just show you an example. I have a sky blue belt and a neon yellow belt, and yeah. they have the same color buckles in their packaging, but as soon as you switch them out and... you know, take yeah. the neon yellow buckle and add it to the sky blue belt.
It's a completely different belt that you
right.
can wear with.
It looks like a whole different belt now. Yeah. So that's the idea is, you know, if you get one strap and even four buckles, it's like having four different belts in one.
Well, can you buy them just separately? Can I just buy straps yeah. and buckles?
Yep, also? That's right.
So like Ron here said he went to FSU, you know, that's a key market for us. We sell a bunch of maroon belts with gold buckles, particularly yeah. at the championship last year. You know, so it just shows all the different, since there's so many colors, there's so many different markets and, you know, ways mm-hmm. you can represent what's your style, your what you care about.
Definitely.
Wish I knew about you guys back then.
Yeah.
So you guys don't have a brick and mortar store either. So you guys are sort of, you're still based in Atlanta. You've got your factory over there, but you also just have an online store, which that gives you guys a huge advantage too. Just, it's probably easier to break into the whole market.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we didn't have a lot of time to mess around. We had to make money fast because we didn't have a huge investment. So we looked at wholesale right away, and trade shows are a great resource to open up a wholesale business. So yeah. for the first 2 years of our business, we focused in on wholesale. Again, we opened about 500 doors to date, which is something to be proud of.
It's huge.
However, when we look at some other businesses that are similar to us, you know, such as Crocs and their business model, they did have a direct-to-consumer approach, and that's really how they grew their business. So right now, actually, we are opening our first kiosk at a mall.
Okay.
And if you remember Crocs, that is how they grew their business. Mm-hmm. They had about 800 kiosks at malls all over the country. So please check us out. Cumberland Mall, April 10th. That's this Thursday. We're opening our very first kiosk, and... you know, real excited about it.
Well, I think this would be a great kiosk product. I can just see it now in my head, just walking through the mall. This would be something interesting to people, and it's again a low entry cost, not having to pay rent to like a brick and mortar store, but you still have that exposure in that kind of setting. So that's great.
Right, the price point's right, and you know the one thing we see with malls today is everyone goes online. If they just want a product, they know what they want, they'll just go online, look for the price, you know, and do it. But what's cool about our product and our brand is it's an experience. You know, you mix yeah. and match the belt and buckle and, like, you know, it's
yours. It's your original.
Right. It's interactive. It's fun, and that's why people come to the mall, for an experience. So we think we really, you know, it's the right place for us to be.
So what's next with you guys? Are you guys going to try to break into any other accessories? Are you guys going to stick just with belts? What's that next step?
Yeah, we have some different products in the pipeline, but we really want to hit home with the belts first.
Yeah,
we want to build the brand off of this unique product, and once we've established ourselves, you know, kind of roll out some new products, you know, down the road. And we have some in the plan for the next year, but we don't really want to.
Don't say keep the secret sauce. Definitely, yeah. Just keep people.
We've hinted at a few things throughout the show, but yeah, I mean, we're really proud of the design of our website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can shop there and use a tool to mix and match the belt and buckle. But the whole experience of shopping at a kiosk or, you know, in person, is really feeling the material of the belt and seeing how cool it is. And it's so unique and different from anything that you've seen before. So that's really what, people find appealing about it.
Definitely. Well, I don't know if either one of you guys has a marketing background, but your user experience and your user interface sounds amazing for your website. And I can see right here you guys have a clean, crisp design, which is awesome. And the transparency is great. I can see everything. And it's just I really like it. And your logo is awesome as well. So you guys really did a great job. Well, how do people reach out, buy the belts, give the website one more time, and tell them about Cumberland Mall again in that date?
Sure.
Well, special offer to all Business Radio X listeners. We're offering a 10% discount on our website, c4belts.com. Use the code RADIOX, and yeah, it's a great way to get one.
And, yeah, and we didn't really get to touch on the name of our company, C4.
Yeah.
It stands for the four Cs in our slogan, choose your color, choose your cause. So the way you choose your color is by mixing and matching the belt and buckle colors. And with every purchase, a portion goes to a charity of the customer's choice. And we've selected four nonprofit organizations. And we've partnered with them. And they are the Boys and Girls Club of America, Best Friends Animal Society, Captain Planet Foundation, and Human Rights Campaign. So of those four organizations, our customers can not only choose what color they want to wear around their waist, but they can also choose how to give back.
Well, I love that. So this is your guys' first company, but you're already turning a profit. You're also giving back to the community. I mean, that's awesome, guys. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, thanks for coming on, all our guests today. You guys all, I love learning about your businesses. So this is Kevin Finn for all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on High Velocity Radio.